You know, it's so vivid in my mind that it feels like it was just yesterday. I'm pretty sure I was probably about 6 years old. We had just moved to our new home in Prince Rupert in northern British Columbia. And it was a sunny day, which is a rare thing for Prince Rupert anyway. And I was playing outside. Now, our house was on a sloped lot, so we had a walkout basement, and along the side of the house, there was a paved sidewalk that ran along the side of the house, and it was made of concrete. I can remember wanting to get to the back of the house quickly, and so I started running along that sidewalk. But because it was sloped and I was leaning forward because I was running, my center of gravity kind of shifted and my little legs couldn't keep up with my body. And I went smack on the concrete head first. And I was in great pain. It caused a lump on my head almost the size of a ping pong ball within seconds. And I went running back to into the house, I went to see my mom. And I was crying my eyes out, and mom put her arms around me and helped me to feel better. The lump, it lasted a while. And actually, as I touch my forehead now, I can still feel a little bit of the lump still there. But my mom, she made me feel better. To a little boy who was hurt, her arms around me were just what I needed. I needed a place of comfort, a place of security, a place of refuge. But you know what? It wasn't just the times when I was hurt that I sought refuge. It wasn't only my mom's arms that helped me to feel safe and secure. Another image that comes to mind when I think of refuge is the big chair in our living room when I was growing up. Now that chair, it was Dad's chair. Often, with Dad's job, he was traveling. And so he would be away for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. And that was tough on a little boy who looked up to his dad. But I can remember sitting in that chair with him when he was home and reading Dr. Seuss books with him in that chair. I can remember the sense of relief, a sense of peace, a sense of, okay, things are all right now, even when I was in my teens. You see, because like I said, my dad was often away, so he would be driving a lot, and the roads in northern BC weren't very good at the best of times. And I can remember always being concerned that Dad might get in an accident on the way home. So I remember, even as a teenager, looking out my bedroom window when it was well past time for me to be in bed, looking out my bedroom window, waiting to see my dad's car pull into the driveway. And as soon as I saw him pull into the driveway, I didn't even go downstairs to say hi to him. I could go back to bed because I knew that everything was all right. I felt safe and secure because Dad was finally home. What comes to your mind when you think of refuge, when you think of safety, when you think of security? What images or memories do you think of? What were some of the places of sanctuary for you as a child? What about the places of sanctuary even now? Over the past few weeks, we have been moving through an Advent series called Close to Home. On the first Sunday of Advent, we had the theme entitled Homesick, and we held in tension the pull between a home that we remember and the longing for the new home given to us through the kingdom of heaven. 2 weeks ago, we had the theme Laying the Foundation, and we were challenged to reflect on how we might speak into the lives of people Words of promise, words of faith, words of peace. Last Sunday, we looked at the message of John the Baptist, and we were reminded of the joy-filled promise that in Jesus, there is a home for all. Today, we come to our final Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of love. And our theme today is entitled, Seeking Sanctuary. Today we're going to reflect on that notion of sanctuary from the perspective of Mary from the perspective of God. And we're going to try to hear what God might be trying to say to us today, listening as individuals and listening as a church community. Our passage today opened up in this way with starting at verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Now, before we go too deeply here, I think it's important for us to remind ourselves of the context. We heard a couple weeks ago who these people, Elizabeth and Zechariah, were. Now, Zechariah was a priest, and he and his wife, Elizabeth, they were an elderly couple. They had no children, and we heard how they found out from God that they were going to have a child. Now Elizabeth was a cousin to Mary. Now, where we are in our story today, Mary has just received news from the angel who visited her to tell her that she is going to have a baby. Now, what do we know about Mary? Well, we don't really know all that much. But Scripture does tell us a bit, and scholars suggest a few other things about her. We do know that she lived in Nazareth. Nazareth was the place where the angel came to visit her and tell her the news. Now, we don't really know much about her family. But the suggestion is that they weren't people of high social standing by any means. They weren't wealthy, and in fact, very likely, it was quite the opposite. They were probably quite poor. We also know that Mary isn't very old. Although when the angel visited her, she was engaged to be married to Joseph, scholars suggest that engagements back then, betrothals back then, often took place much earlier, much sooner for women than they do in our day and age. So Mary very likely is quite young. Quite possibly in her early to mid-teens. Now, just imagine you receiving news such as that Mary did when you were in your early teens. How do you think you would have received it? The impression we get from Luke in the verse just prior to our passage today is that Mary took all this in stride. If you know the story, perhaps you'll remember Mary's words when the angel finished delivering the message to her. What did she say? She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word be to me be fulfilled." Wow. Mary seems to be so together, don't you think? Much more together than I remember my kids being when they were in their early teens. Much more than I can remember me being when I was in my early teens. And yet, as I reflect on the passage and on what Mary did immediately after the angel had left her, the sense I get is that perhaps Mary didn't have it as together as I might have previously assumed. The passage told us that as soon as the angel left her, Mary hurried to a hill town, a town in the hill country of Judea, to the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth. You know, I have to say that for the longest time, whenever I thought about the interaction of the, in this story between Mary and Elizabeth, I really only saw the purpose of the interaction as simply being an affirmation of Jesus. When the story talks about Elizabeth's baby leaping for joy in his mother's womb, at the presence of Mary and her yet unborn child, I just kind of took that all as kind of a wow thing. Like, even in his mother's womb, when John the Baptist was just 6 months, he was a few months before he was even born, he knew the wonder of Jesus. And that was what struck me. It was really something just affirming who Jesus was. But is that what the story is really about? Is that why this story is included here? I'm not totally sure about that anymore. Now, I'm not saying that the child in Mary's womb wasn't special. I mean, I believe that from the very start, Jesus was. I mean, God in the flesh. Unbelievable. But I'm not so sure the passage is only here to tell us something about Jesus. I think there could be something more. When Mary received her news, immediately she went to Elizabeth. Why did she do that? The more I reflect on the story, the more I start to wonder what might have been going on inside of Mary when all this was going on. See, it's interesting, there's no mention of Mary's parents. We don't even know whether Mary's parents knew anything of the situation. We don't know whether Mary, when she got the news from the angel, went straight to mom and dad and told them, or whether she went off to the hill country in Judea to go and connect with Elizabeth. I mean, it seems like the impression we get is that it was a quick departure. And all that makes me wonder what might have been going on inside of Mary at this time. Likely, she would have been pretty confused. She would have been overwhelmed. Very likely, she could have been quite scared. I mean, here she was, a poor, unwed girl. And she was told that she was going to bear God's only son. I mean, what were people going to start saying about her? How safe would she have been, both physically and emotionally? In a mere matter of moments, Mary's life was turned upside down. And Mary decides that she has to go somewhere else. And isn't it interesting who she goes to see? She goes to see her cousin Elizabeth. Now, maybe it's because my cousins live in the UK and I don't see them all that much, that I really know them all that well, that for me to hear this and think that the natural person to go to see is your cousin, it seems a bit strange to me. I'm not sure I would go and see my cousins if I was wrestling with something. But I think it's worth pointing out that Mary's relationship with Elizabeth may not have felt like a cousin relationship. I wonder whether it could have felt more like a maternal one or even a grand maternal one. Remember, Elizabeth, she was elderly. Remember, that was the whole issue about her struggle. Hers and in Zechariah's struggle was they were old and they didn't think they were ever going to have kids. So she was elderly. And Mary, she is quite young, in her early teens. While they may be cousins, I don't think it was a typical cousin kind of relationship. But I wonder whether it might have been a relationship of care and of nurture. You know, I even wonder whether there might have been a time when Mary was under the direct care of Elizabeth. I wonder whether maybe Mary's family had had Elizabeth go and stay with, Mary's family had Mary go and stay with Elizabeth for some time, or maybe Elizabeth had come down to stay when Mary was quite young. Don't know what it might have been, but I wonder whether there had been some extended time when they were together and a time where Elizabeth just doted and cared for Mary in such a way that Mary felt safe and secure in the presence of Elizabeth. Maybe there was more of a relationship between Mary and Elizabeth even than between Mary and her own mom. If there's anything to that possibility of a maternal or grand maternal relationship between Mary and Elizabeth, is it all that surprising that upon hearing the news, Mary made her way to Elizabeth? It might have made perfect sense to Mary. Because to Mary, Elizabeth represented refuge. Elizabeth represented somebody who offered safety and security, one who was willing to provide sanctuary. And isn't it interesting that Mary didn't even have to explain anything to Elizabeth? Now, as I imagine the story unfolding from what we hear in the scriptures, I can just picture Mary coming in the front door and Elizabeth seeing her and just rushing over to greet her, putting her arms around her and embracing her. And in that very moment, Elizabeth just knows something very important is going on here. And so she goes on to say these words in the ears of Mary. She says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." In a mere matter of moments, all the confusion, all the questions, all the what on earth is going on kind of stuff that was swirling around in the mind of Mary suddenly just disappeared. Elizabeth's words gave Mary confirmation and comfort that she was looking for. Mary found refuge. She found sanctuary in the arms of her cousin Elizabeth. And in that safe place, in the presence of one who provided sanctuary, Mary is then able to accept all that's going on. Her heart and mind are in such a safe place that she is able to praise. And so from verses 46 to 55 of our passage today, we have what's called the Magnificat, where Mary gushes out some words of praise. "My soul glorifies the Lord," she says, "and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name." And then in verse 52, "He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble." In a place of safety, in a place of sanctuary, Mary's heart was able to sing. And yet, this image that we have of Mary with Elizabeth isn't the only image of sanctuary in our passage today. Sanctuary is taking place on another level as well. Because in the larger gospel narrative, we have God finding sanctuary in Mary. When we look at the words of the Magnificat, we hear Mary giving praise to God, thanking God for God's blessings to her. But what about the blessing that God finds in Mary? What about how God is being blessed by her? Earlier on, I spoke about how I often used to look at this story of Elizabeth and Mary as simply a story that confirmed something significant about Jesus. And I kind of minimized the role of Elizabeth. I think likewise, I minimized the role of Mary. Now, sure, I was awed by her faithfulness. I knew that she was somebody special. But when I started to consider this whole notion of sanctuary, I couldn't help but notice the sanctuary God sought in Mary. The sanctuary that the Son of God needed from her. Now, maybe you are someone who believes that God doesn't need anything, and I totally understand that way of thinking. But isn't it interesting that God chose to need Mary? I mean, God could have come to the world just like that, as a full-grown adult. If anything is possible with God, then surely God could have done that. But that's not the way God came. Instead, the eternal Son of God took human form and came as a tiny baby. And for a period of 9 months inside his mother's womb, God found perfect sanctuary. As Mary was able to find all-embracing love, as she was able to find comfort and sanctuary from Elizabeth, so was Mary able to provide all-embracing love, comfort, and sanctuary for the child that she was carrying. And make no mistake, the sanctuary that Mary provided was not merely a sanctuary for just 9 months while the baby was still in his mother's womb. No, sanctuary was generously offered to Jesus during all his formative years as well. And those formative years were so important to Jesus. Now, during those years, particularly his younger years, it's quite likely that Joseph didn't have all that much to do with raising, nurturing, and educating Jesus. I mean, dads were kind of in the background until later on when the kids were a bit older. It was the woman's role to raise the children. And because of this, Jesus would have been mainly cared for and nurtured by Mary. And in Mary, Jesus would have experienced a heart full of love and a spirit that reached out to others in blessing. Even in the words Mary spoke when she was in the presence of Elizabeth, words that spoke about the humble being lifted, the hungry being fed, words that spoke about the ways of the world being reversed, even though those words came from God, I think those words would have shaped her. And as they shaped her, so would they have lived within her. And Jesus would have seen that lived out in his formative years. Now again, I'm not saying that Jesus would have been ill-equipped had it not been for Mary. But remember how it came about. God chose to need the person of Mary. And there was such a relationship between Jesus and Mary that in Jesus, I believe, the imprint of Mary could be seen as she raised Jesus surrounding him by love, offering him comfort, refuge, and sanctuary. And all this raises the question, how does this apply to you and to me? I started off near the beginning of the sermon today talking about a place of sanctuary for me. That big chair in the living room in the house when I was growing up. Now, for some here today, some people who are listening to this or watching this service via our live stream, you might think of a specific place when you think of refuge and sanctuary. But you know what? For me, it wasn't really that chair in the living room. I mean, when Dad was away on his road trips, that chair was nothing special. What made it a place of sanctuary when Dad was home sitting in the chair. That's when the chair became a special place. Sanctuary isn't only about place. Much more importantly, sanctuary is about people who say to you, I'm here for you. I'm here with you. You can be you with me. And I'm going to keep on loving. You are safe. You are secure always with me. The door will never close. I am so glad you are here. As Elizabeth offered sanctuary to Mary, as Mary offered sanctuary to Jesus, it causes me to wonder, to whom is God calling me to offer sanctuary? To whom is God calling our church to offer sanctuary? In the words of praise that Mary spoke after she'd been greeted and embraced by Elizabeth, Mary spoke about God turning things around, turning systems, turning structures around, that in her son, God was going to reach out to people who the world turned its back on. And all this makes me wonder, how am I to play a part in that? Since we have found refuge, since we have found sanctuary in Jesus, now we got to ask ourselves, how will we provide refuge and sanctuary to others? How might we as a church take the love that we've been given by Jesus and share that love intentionally in specific and tangible ways with others so that they too might come to find sanctuary in Jesus? How willing will we be to be a sanctuary for someone while they're in the midst of what feels like an awful storm? How will we create safe places at Holy Trinity? How will we create safe spaces wherever we are so that people will know, because they experience it, that they are loved? Our passage today is far more than about a yet unborn John the Baptist jumping for joy because he's near the yet unborn baby Jesus. It's about two women modeling what it means to provide sanctuary to the most vulnerable. May we become people. May we become a church where people can experience sanctuary with us. May we become people, may we become a church where people know without the slightest doubt that they are oh so loved by Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that your love knows no boundaries. We thank you for places of refuge, for people of refuge. Lord, we want to be such people in your world. We want this church to be a place of sanctuary. Help us to share your love all around us. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.